If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this long-ass episode...
Ooh, I love the long ones.
...of Mind Pump, for the first 40 minutes, we have some fun, light conversation. We talk about
40 minutes?
We talk about laughing at at horrible things. I'm kind of guilty of laughing at things I probably shouldn't.
Me too, I'll admit it.
We talk about Justin's likeness to World War II veterans in terms of his face.
It's just the face. It's that, like, profile.
You got to listen to put this one together.
Really weird. Yeah. Then we talk about Adam's soccer mom wheelhouse and his cleaning product line, the imaginary one that we came up with on the show that we will never do for reals. We talk about yoga.
It's a good idea.
We talk about yoga. We talk about insoles and the importance of feet. And then we mentioned also Organifi. That's one of our sponsors. By the way, if you go to Organifi.com, Organifi.com, and enter the code MINDPUMP, you'll get a fat discount. That's the only thing that'll get fat, by the way.
Everything else gets dirty. Fat.
Then we get into the questions. The first question is, how do you recommend using Maps Prime and Prime Pro without spending hours a day working out? Really, the question revolves around, how do you get fit and healthy without having to go into the gym and doing all kinds of crazy stuff all the time? We actually provide the answers to this on how you can kind of mold your life around these things. Then we answer the question, how do you change the composition of your body? In other words, you don't lose weight, but you gain muscle and burn body fat.
Recomping, huh? I haven't heard that term.
That's it. Do you need to be in a surplus in terms of calories or a deficit? Find out the answer in this episode. Then we talk about our thoughts on the functional patterns guy. This is somebody on Instagram who's got some great information who has been a little dickish lately. Then we talk about how Adam, in particular, handles people telling him what he should and should not do. In particular, people are telling him he needs to start having babies. All he does is practice. Doesn't finish the job.
Yeah. Go all the way.
Also, in this month, if you enroll in any MAPS program or MAPS bundle, we're going to give you our most popular program for free, MAPS Prime. Now, remember, in MAPS Prime, there's a self-assessment compass that teaches you how to prime your workouts. And this works for any workout, by the way, whether you do MAPS, CrossFit, martial arts, you're playing a sport, whatever. If you prime your body properly, it makes your workout that much more effective. So basically, enroll in any of our programs, get Prime for free. However, if you enroll in the Super Bundle, which already includes Prime and is also 1 year's worth of exercise program, we're going to give you Prime Pro for free, which is our correctional version of Prime. Or if you enroll in the Prime or Prime Pro bundle, which obviously has both of them, then we're going to give you MAPS Performance for free. So in other words, enroll in any program, you're going to get something for free this month in September. All you got to do is go to mindpumpmedia.com and enroll. You know, I have this mean thing that I do still.
What's that?
That I feel bad about. It's not even something I do. It's a thing. It's a way I think. That's kind of mean. So there's two things that I will always seem to always laugh at that I feel bad about.
That you're mean? Who are you mean to?
It's mean, dude. It's a mean thing to laugh about. But like when kids are in public and they're crying, but they're not like hurt. They just have that like...
like whining.
Yeah. And the parents are with them in the grocery store and the kid's just like, funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Every time I laugh. God. But it's really mean because the kid is obviously in distress.
Not that.
And the parent, are they?
It's normally fake crying.
And the parent, that's why it's funny to me because the kid is...
The parents ignoring them because it's like ridiculous.
They're just like, You guys watch that YouTube video where the kid's crying and then the mom walks out the room. So the kid stops and then walks around, finds his mom, falls on the floor, starts crying again.
Yeah.
That's what kids do, dude.
Totally. Yeah,
they do that all the time.
Attention getting.
And then the other thing that makes me laugh is is when people fall in public.
Oh, it's the best.
It's
what is that about, like injury and stuff like that we find comical? Why is that?
It's not injury because when I see someone actually
hurt. Remember like the Three Stooges? Right. Like half of the comedy skit was like hitting each other on the head and like
poking their eyes out.
Right. Like what is that that's so funny about that for us?
I don't know, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of fucked up.
I saw...
That we enjoy watching somebody else get hurt.
So I saw... I might even told this on...
We all do.
I might even said this on the podcast once. I saw an old lady fall in the parking lot once from the one of the gym that I used to own.
And you laughed?
Dude, you know why I laughed? You would have laughed, too.
You're going to hell.
She fell, but I'm not exaggerating. It took her a full minute to fall down. It was the slowest fall I've ever seen in my life.
Timber.
She kind of tripped, and she's like, and it was like, and then her legs went up in the air. Bee. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I've seen a couple of those. Those are great.
The slow motion falls?
Yeah, the slow motion ones.
Oh, man.
It's just like.
Did I ever tell you about the time I threw a basketball directly at an old lady's face?
What?
So, yeah.
Okay, now you've crossed the line.
No. Yeah. Let me tell you a story for what happened. So when I used to manage.
Intentionally?
No, not intentionally.
Oh, I was like, whoa, dude.
So it wasn't on purpose. You guys are like, fuck, that's not even. So, but Justin's still laughing. I had a few, when I used to manage gyms, there was a few hallmark things that I would do. And one of them was, is I would have fun with my staff every day, and I'd fuck with my staff every day in a teasing way, and we'd have a lot of fun doing it. It's just what I did. And so I had this front desk dude that worked for me, this young kid, and
oh god, I already know what happened.
Poke fun at it. I'd fuck with him all the time.
See what's coming.
But uh-huh. It's because I had the.
You know why? It's because you're not athletic, dude. You made a bad pass.
Well, I guess I kind of did.
I already know, dude.
So let me tell you what happened. So
hey, bro, look out!
Yeah. So he was on. He was always. I put him under my wing, so I would tease him on top of it, and I was behind him while he's standing at the front desk, and I got the basketball, and I meant to bounce it off the back of his head. But he was fucking sharp, dude. He knew what was coming.
He moved and you pelted some lady.
Right in the face, dude.
Oh, my God.
That's bad.
Right in her glasses. Beep. Right in her face, in her glasses. She covered her face with both of her hands.
Oh, my. That really happened to you?
And kind of bent over and held her face.
Did she cry?
And for a split second, I was like, how can I blame this on...
Yeah.
Someone else.
Yeah, how do I get out of this? Yeah.
But I didn't. I took the blind. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah.
But
free membership or what? You had to do something to her.
No, actually.
You didn't even give her a free membership after that?
No. I probably sold her something afterwards.
Oh, my God. I've been so afraid.
I was probably like, hey, listen, because I hit you in the face with a basketball on accident, what I'm going to do is offer you a discounted rate on our personal
training. Here's some supplements. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I noticed your posture's a little certain way. You know what might help with that? No, but I felt horrible, but it was also funny when she wasn't hurt. But the fact that she got hit in the face.
Yeah.
The basketball.
That's epic, dude.
It was really bad, dude.
Yeah. There was no animosity, huh? She didn't like that. I would think she'd be pissed.
She got mad, but then I'm adorable to old ladies. Mm. So she was okay with it. Like, seriously, no joke, dude. If there was a contest for who could attract the most old ladies, when I say old, I mean like 70 and older, I would kill everybody.
Yeah, you kind of have that vibe.
They love me, dude.
I believe that.
Fraud, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either.
They love me.
You get the weird.
You just want to feed you.
The young and then the really old.
Maybe.
Yeah. I get the soccer moms. Yeah. The soccer moms love me, dude.
They're all younger than
they
you.
They want to feed
soon.
You Werther's Originals.
Whoa,
you know, all day. Just shove it in your mouth.
Werther's Originals.
Yeah. Like, you just have that face.
That's what it is. He probably brings
pinch
stuff like
your
that
cheeks
around,
and then give you little Werther's.
Take off my pantyhose.
Oh, Sonny. Oh, Sonny. Yeah.
You're a good kid.
Yeah. One of them grabbed my butt in the grocery store. I told that story before.
Oh, you did tell that story. I remember that.
It's just a thing that I'm good at. So I'm hoping it's like that when I'm 90.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
But you're still
if they stay still the 70, 80 year olds.
That's right.
Now I'm, you know what I mean?
The retirement home, you know, you're going to get some action.
Now I'm, yeah. I feel like Justin would be good with that area.
With older.
The, I do have elderly. A little bit of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he's kind of like a, there's a kid like quality about him. He's you know, he's adorable a little bit.
I remind them of those pictures of like, I'm like every guy that like came back from World War II. You know, like I have that kind of face. Like everybody always says I look
like somebody who came back from World War II.
Like, you know those old pictures like where they're like.
That's very specific.
It's very specific. Yeah, I swear to God.
You
like,
know, you look like.
You look like my great uncle, you know, fucking Carl or whatever. You know what I mean?
Who served in Korea.
I swear everybody tells me stuff like that all the time. I'm always like walking around. Like,
so you don't look like a.
You remind me of my grandpa.
You don't look like a Vietnam vet.
No,
World War II.
World War II American coming back from, you know, Germany.
Which just so happens to be be the one war everybody's like, that's the best war we ever fought.
It's like I'm coming back ready to make babies.
Yeah.
You know, and they realize that.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And you still get the soccer moms, huh, Adam?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Soccer moms like me, dude. I don't know what that is. It's always been, and it's been that.
I've witnessed it.
I know.
You're not making it up.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's been that way since I was 20, dude. It hasn't changed. You know, 20, 25, 30, 35. They still stay right around that wheelhouse, right? So getting closer to that age now.
I've witnessed that. We were out or something, and there was a group of them. There was a, what do you call a group of soccer moms?
It's just, I don't know, like a coog fest.
A gaggle. I don't know. I saw that. There was literally a gaggle. I don't know if that's the right word. Of soccer moms, and we were walking by, me, Adam, and Justin, and
where were we? Where was this?
I don't know. We were on the
Campbell, maybe.
Yeah, and they fucking started hollering at you,
like catcalling.
Yeah, like pretty aggressively.
Yeah.
And I was like, at this moment, I realized, like, I'm like, Adam. You know, I thought in my head, I'm like, he's full of shit. And then after I saw it, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It's real.
It's real.
I feel like we're missing an opportunity. You should be like on a cleaning product or something.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like, just put Adam's like face and body on there.
That was so sexist.
Yeah. What?
What?
Because soccer moms love me. We're gonna put me on a cleaning product.
Whatever, dude. Stereotypes. I'm a businessman. Okay, like that shit would sell. Don't kid yourself, America. You know, like I stick with the old.
Oh, shit.
Adam's cleaning supplies. I think they would do well.
Anway, look the fuck out.
Huh?
I said Anway.
I might compete though. I might put a flannel on and sell some fucking, you know, like paper towels and shit.
You do look more like Brawny. Yeah. Than the two of us.
I'm pretty brawny.
Yeah, I couldn't sell shit but olive oil.
Yeah, you would be an olive oil for sure. Balsamic fucking sal.
Sardines.
Yeah. There was sardines.
Stop it with the
just
sardines.
Open it up. You know. Yeah. Pretty much any salad dressing, you would do well.
There was a movie where there was this, where the couples went on a trip. I can't remember what it was. It was relatively recently, although my timeline is skewed when it comes to movies, because the other day I was watching The Matrix. I didn't realize it was over 20 years old.
Holy shit, is it really 20?
Yeah, dude, it's old.
What? Stop, dude. I grew 15, 10 more gray hairs.
It's like 15 or 20 years old. It's old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No way.
Actually, I think it's 20. I think, let's find out when The Matrix come out.
Let me think here. I'm trying
Ignorance is bliss.
I guess we were high school. Were we high school?
Yeah, the original Matrix came out in 1999, dude. So it's close.
Yeah, my senior year
it's
in high school.
Close to 20 years. So,
holy fuck!
So there was a movie with where couples went on a vacation together, and then the wives took a yoga class. They were on some Caribbean island, and it was this fucking Italian dude teaching them yoga, and his name was Salvatore, and he was such a greasy douchebag.
Yeah,
that's like the second or third time someone with my name in a movie has been displayed that way. And it's always some kind of a trainer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder how much that makes an impact on others, because, you know, that movie's probably watched by millions of people. Yeah. And so now people have this image of what Sal probably is like. Yeah. That's your haters feel that way about you.
Yeah. That's how I teach yoga. Because in the movie, he'll grab their butt and adjust them, be like, feel it right here.
Yeah.
That's how you feel it.
Did I ever tell you guys that I actually paid for all my official yoga certifications, and I had this business idea? This was when I was running the boot camps.
Wait.
So, you ready?
Did you ever go through that?
Listen to what I was going to do.
You were going to get yoga certified?
I paid for it and everything. So listen to what I did. This is so bad, right? This goes right in line with what you were saying, though, Justin. So I had all these boot camps all over the Bay Area, and absolutely 80% of my clientele was the 35 to 55 year old, you know, soccer mom is what I had. And I remember thinking, like, dude, you know what? I bet you a lot of these ladies would pay me top dollar to come teach them one-on-one yoga in their house.
Oh, my God.
And I would roll up with, like, my little basket, dude, like, of, like, fucking candles and incense and, like, fucking little radio and everything, dude. And show up and have my Sade playing in the back.
Exactly.
Light the candles, right? Yeah, dude. And I believed so much in this that I actually paid for it, had it all lined up. stupid me, I get it right in
like
the middle of I'm on this bulk and I'm in the middle of like putting on a bunch of size on. I'm like this is around when I was like 230.
You're just way too
super
out.
Flexible.
Oh, and I'm like, the reason why I didn't do it and I stopped it, I was like, I can't do this at this point right now where I'm at in my life with this whole getting big bulking up. It's so conflicting with yoga that if I'm going to do that and do it well, they have to take me seriously. Like, of course, I'm playing to the whole soccer moms that probably like me training them or what like that. Sure, I'm playing into that, but I have to be at least.
You
got to
provide some value.
Yeah, I got to provide some value, and I am not stupid enough to, you know what I'm saying, like
I'm not like a total whore,
right? Yeah. Exactly. Like I'm gonna get good at my craft too,
right.
And so I just accepted that there's no
respect
way
yourself.
I'm gonna get. Yeah. Good enough to take myself seriously to go and teach it at people's houses, right? So I kind of bailed on it. I lost the money. I think I spent like 400 something bucks. It was not a cheap certification.
Have you taken yoga classes?
Yeah, I have.
You have? Yeah. Legit yoga classes?
Yeah, I've taken a few.
what do you think about them?
I think they're great. I think.
What about the meditation part and all that stuff? Have you taken classes like that?
Yeah, we're the last at the very end. Like they put you in like a lying whatever. I forget what they call it.
And, Savasana.
Yeah, whatever.
And or as I like to call it, Salvasana.
Yeah, and you lay there and you meditate.
You lay on your back. It's the one pose I do perfectly.
So I mean, I love yoga. I love everything.
I love
everything about
all
it.
Day.
But when I go to a class, I can't help but look around and think the same thing that I think and I say on the show all the time is that. You know, all the people that are really, really into it are the people that need it the least. And the people that aren't in there need it the most. And it's just, I feel that way about a lot of different modalities of training or exercise, is that we gravitate towards what we love and what we're good at or whatever, and then we stay in that. And it's like, I look over and I see all these super limber, you know, chicks that love doing yoga 5-6 days a week, but then they're not lifting any heavy weight, and so their strength is whack.
So, you know, the yoga, so I took yoga.
And by the way, that's a total overgeneralization. I know that, you know what I'm saying?
Because it's actually changing.
Right.
So I took yoga relatively consistently, and when I say relatively consistently, I mean like once or twice a week for a period of over the course of, I'd say, 6 months, 7 months, maybe even a year, kind of spotty. And I hadn't taken yoga classes since until relatively recently, where I went back to some yoga classes. And the one big thing that I noticed, way more men in the class than before, way more men. And I've been looking up statistics, and the makeup of people who take yoga, a lot more men are starting to take it now, whereas before it was all women. Now you're starting to see more guys start to take it, which I think is pretty cool. But
I think we're starting to accept the benefits behind it. I mean, I think that it was kind of in that category of a little woo-woo not that long ago, and I think we're beyond that. I think there's enough science and enough people have spoken outwardly about the positive benefits of yoga that, you know, even the meathead bodybuilder guy is starting to put that together, that there's some...
Maybe. I haven't seen too many. I'm usually like by far the buffest dude in the class. I'm not even that big. But especially when I took it a while ago. God, it has to have been.
But that's what I mean right
like
there, right? Like,
ago.
Guys like you belong in there more than anybody else,
oh,
in my
dude.
Opinion. You know what I'm saying?
I should be doing yoga every day.
Right. Someone like you, I think, belongs in there more than probably everybody else. And by belongs in there, I mean needs it
I need
more.
It, yeah.
But yeah, they need you need it more.
Yeah. But I did not. I'll tell you what, I had a bad experience in this particular place. And I've taken yoga from probably about 5 different places. I've probably done yoga. And this one school, which I won't name because it's pretty popular here in the Bay Area, and I won't name it because I know a lot of the instructors and they're really nice.
I'm trying to hate.
No, I don't want to hate on them.
But they suck.
They totally, a couple of their instructors and their students, by the way, really created this cult-like, spiritual righteousness attitude when they would see me, the proto, you know, the visually looking like a meathead, walking into their class.
They scoff at you like, oh, there's the meathead.
Yes.
The one that can't even touch
his
toes.
No, no, no. I actually had a teacher laugh at me in class.
Oh, wow.
And poke fun at me in class.
Whoa, that pissed me off.
But she did it. She thought she was being playful. And I have a strong enough sense of confidence that it didn't bother me. The part that bothered me, so what happened was I was doing a pose and she's walking around correcting people, and throughout the class she'd have to come and help me. And I've got good body awareness. I just can't get into certain positions. It's not because I don't know the body awareness. I just can't do it. So she'd come over and correct me. And every time she'd do it, she'd giggle a little bit, like, Sal. And she'd come over and do it. And she'd say it real loud, right?
Yeah.
And she actually didn't even know my name. She'd even say Sal. She'd giggle and come over. So by the time this happened, like, three times, she kind of laughed a little bit and was just like, you don't necessarily need to do all the poses because they're, because you think you have to. And she kind of laughed as she walked away. And then some of the women in the class, I could tell they were looking at me like, you go back to weights or whatever.
Oh my God.
And I don't care. Again, I laugh at myself and I have no problem. Like I said, I'm pretty self-confident. The part that bothered the fuck out of me was that this was a business.
Right, right.
And I owned a business. And I remember thinking like, you fucking morons. Like, this is horrible.
Missed opportunity.
Because
someone like you, you don't know, you could turn you off so bad. Not only are you not ever going to come back, but you're probably going to talk bad about it to all your guy friends that you know, which is going to decrease the chances of them having anybody else.
Yeah, they're feeding into the cultness of it, silly. And the click. That's why I never got into
it. Well, I felt bad for potentially an overweight woman that comes in there or someone who's very insecure, who may get that vibe, which, by the way, I've heard people say that, like, oh, I don't like to go to that one because everybody's so pretentious. Hmm. And sure enough, that's the way you feel. And you see these women that walk in there, with their Mercedes and their fucking expensive, yoga outfits, and none of them, they're in the middle of the day, they don't work, and you can tell them all. And I think that's the vibe that I would get, which is ironically so anti-yoga and what it's supposed to stand
for. Dude, that's why I got into mobility. I don't want any of that bullshit. Like, I don't need any of the spiritualness of it. I don't need any of the, the pretentiousness and the pants and all that shit.
Justin doesn't need no fucking pants.
I don't need fucking pants. Like,
pants are for pussies.
Like, I'm out on the field and I'm doing drills. It's all mobility. It's all the same shit. It's just like they make it into this like religious practice. And of course, I'm speaking completely in generalities. But I like the idea of it. I just don't like the cult that's around it.
Cult attitudes can become created and developed around any. Thing.
I was gonna say,
So you'll find that with resistance training too. Right. I'm sure people will tell you, oh my God, I went to the gym and tried to lift some free weights, and all the fucking meatheads looked at me funny, made fun of me. I mean, you'll get that experience almost anywhere. Yeah. And the spiritual side of yoga is actually amazing because if you think of yoga as, and of course, there's versions of yoga that are quote unquote strengthening and yang types of yoga, but the yin types of yoga. They're designed to kind of put you in a parasympathetic state, relax the body, teach you how to breathe better. So that's the spiritual side that they add to it, right? Because like if you're lifting weights and you're lifting heavy, you kind of want to go in there with some, some energy and some intensity, right? Because it benefits it. Hmm. With yoga, you don't want to go into yoga with that energy intensity. You want to go into it with this kind of relaxed, centered state of mind. So the spiritual side of it feeds very well into that. But when people turn it into...
Yeah, you can get that from breathing too.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes.
There's a lot of other alternatives that you can get that same experience if you just like work on your breathing. You work on releasing a lot of that tension and not going into these mobility drills and stretching drills, holding on to that intensity of it. So I really annoyed too with the fact that people go into these like hot yoga and all these like. Super extreme like power yoga and to, like they're trying to like it, I feel like that defeats the purpose of it on a lot of levels,
like it would with any form of exercise,
right.
Where you just go in there to fucking win.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You know, this is totally off topic, but this just reminded me, did I tell you guys about the on the cruise, the trainer that I was like watching him?
No.
Okay, so they actually have like a gym there and they have a staff of trainers. I mean, it's a cruise every day, 6 months out of the year. So they actually have a full personal training business that's being ran.
And they live on the boat.
Yeah, they live on the boat.
That's
right?
So crazy.
And I thought, dude, that'd be an awesome.
As a
I
single dude?
If I was single, I'd be all about it.
Oh, that'd be fire.
Only thing that sucks is like, if you're this and the single young dude, I was thinking, I'm like, man, I feel bad for you because you have the Alaskan cruise, which is like nobody under the age of 50 except for like
old,
me on there, right?
Yeah, silverbacks.
Totally. So anyways, they had this, they had, you get a free personal training session. Like, you know, they give out all these free training mm-hmm. sessions. And a guy that I was gambling with the night before, I seen him, and I'm in their little group X area right there, and I'm doing my own stuff, and I got my headphones on, and I see him, his wife, and his young boy, who's I think like 12 years old. They're all on their, you know, this personal training, you know, free appointment. And the guy's, you know, giving his whole spiel and talking about nutrition and, you know, pulling out all the charts and, like, you know, telling them how they're going to die and stuff. And saying, right.
Here's your timeline.
Right.
Right here it ends.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then he goes out and I've never seen this. He goes and gets this big, I don't even know what you would call them, but you know, like when the thumbprint, you know, that you do, like we put your thumb on and then you do your thumbprint. You know?
Oh, okay.
I don't even know what you call those pads.
Oh, I don't know what they're
ink
called.
Pad, giant ink pad. Sure. Right? Yeah. It's a giant ink pad, like,
oh,
this big,
shit.
Right?
Let me guess. He put his feet on them?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So he has them walk and then they hit the ink pad and then they hit a white piece of paper right afterwards. And then he can see, and then he breaks down their foot and shows where their
pressure is.
Oh, yeah. it was brilliant.
What a great sales tool.
But exactly, totally. Right? It was a brilliant sales tool. And I had such a hard time keeping my mouth shut because I'm sitting here listening to the whole presentation and just all three of them getting wowed. And then out comes the insoles, you know, and then he sells them all custom insoles.
Dr. Schultz.
Got this fucking 14-year-old kid wearing insoles. And, you know, I'm kind of doing my own thing. And I don't ever, like, get in people's shit because I've been doing this for so long that I'm on my vacation. I don't want to talk fitness. But sometimes there's things like this and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that would eat at me.
Right, it's eating at me. I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to hate on this guy's business. I'm not that guy. But if they ask me something, I'm going to say something. So I'm like, exercising, like I'm totally acting like the stalker guy or girl now. I'm like exercising closer.
Yeah. I know looking over your shoulder.
I know he recognizes me from playing poker earlier that night, and I'm like, so I'm exercising, and I've got my headphone, like one headphone off, so he
inviting them.
Yeah, right.
I'm receptive.
Right, yeah, and then he says, "Hey, man, how you doing?" And then like, "Hey, good, man." I say, "Hey, how's your little training session going?" Like, "Oh my god, we're learning so much." He's like, "Oh yeah, really." Like, yeah, you got to check this out. I'm like, yeah, I'm not really in the business of like selling people insoles. I'm in the business of helping people with the root cause. Oh, and he was like, And then I explained what we do and did my told him everything. And I said, hey, check this out. I said, this is all free information. Go listen to this, listen to that. You know, I don't know if it's a really good idea having your 14-year-old boy wear insoles right
Damn,
now.
Damn, you cock blocked that trainer.
I did. I totally did. And I totally would not do that. That's not my style to do that. But I just...
That's way too obvious, though. Come on.
Right?
You have to say something.
Well, I just feel like that. And he did such a good job that they were so wowed. Because it is a cool...
Well,
right?
I mean, you might as well replace it with magnets.
Well,
that's pretty much
the first part is great.
What a cool tool, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like I could see how that could be a very useful visual tool to show someone what's happening with their foot,
mm-hmm.
but then to take that and then turn it into...
Yeah, let's talk about ankle foot mobility.
Yeah.
How do we fix this?
So what do you guys think about this when it comes to using insoles? Because something just kind of came to me with that. Obviously, if you have an issue with your foot and you're trying to correct it with insoles, all you're doing is you're creating
a crutch.
Not only a crutch, but you're gonna make the imbalance worse because now you're completely removing any of the muscles of the foot and involvement in the ankle and all that stuff. What if you gave someone an insole, but then you taught them to activate muscles with that insole and then slowly reduce that insole until the point when they had... So in other words, start them where they're at.
The likelihood, though, and the problem with that is that...
You'd have to be with coaching
them
all the time.
That's not
going to
happen, right? If you put it... The whole point...
But could you see what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I totally get where you're saying. Well, this is... So what you do with that, and they make very cool training tools for this. Like you can do... Like let's say someone has an excessive pronation in their foot. You can take these little foam wedges... And they make them, and you would put the wedge under their foot to level their foot out and strike the way it's supposed to, and then they do like a single leg toe touch or whatever. So
and then you remove it and they try to keep
exactly.
It like that.
Then you remove it, and so there's tools out there to help aid that progress. But I would never recommend someone putting an insole in their shoe because then you're mindless walking around, and we know what's gonna. Then you know what's gonna happen. Then is the
yeah,
body
use it for training, not just like habit and routine.
Then the body's gonna. And people don't understand what you're doing there, but if you have a dysfunction in the foot like that, and now mind you, I'm not talking about something that's like. born with. Like if you're weird and you have only two toes or something like that, and that throws you off balance. Like,
you're not weird.
Exception. Right? You're not weird.
You just
weird.
Offended.
You're
just,
special.
Yeah. You just offended
all the two-toed people.
All the two-toed people.
Well, we see a huge dip.
Man,
in.
We're on a
well,
roll.
Watch a huge dip in downloads next week. Doug's like, what happened last week? Adam offended
sexist,
all
you
the,
were...
the two-toed people.
Damn it.
So yeah, I mean, if you got something that you're born with and you did totally different, I'm not talking about that. But if over time you have created some issue, which, and normally, by the way, it's knee or hip or back issues, and then you go see, you know, an orthopedic surgeon or something, and they tell you, oh yeah, you know, your foot's all fucked up here, let's do this surgery, and then we can put this insole in, which that's what drives me crazy, because you weren't born with that. Something happened where you've lost connection somewhere in your foot that's not allowing the muscles that you need to help support you and keep you in neutral spinal alignment. It's off, and you can retrain that and get back. You know, you can get back to that, and you know, yeah, it's tedious. Yeah, it takes a little bit of work, but I mean, I tell you what, it's going to keep you off of having to do surgery. It's going to keep you from having to wear insoles and potentially causing other issues on the rest of your body. It's going to keep you from having to do cortisone shots.
It only makes sense that most of our chronic ailments that we have today are the result of just our modern lifestyle. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
I mean, it just makes sense. Like if you look at any of these chronic ailments that we have, whether it's, you know, back pain is super common. Like that's a super common ailment that people will have, that it's the cause is just our modern lifestyle, which a modern lifestyle is inactivity and then certain positions that we're in, you know, all the time. This is true for anything.
Well, you know, it's crazy. I was talking to my uncle this weekend and, you know, he's been diving through our business like crazy, and he's very well aware of a lot of the message that we put out there. But he hasn't listened to hardly any podcasts of any of ours, and so he doesn't fully understand our message. And we're talking, and you know, we were talking all business most of the day, and then he brings up about getting ready to potentially work with your girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling him, absolutely, Casey, you need to do that. I'm like, she's been taught by Sal. She's listened to every Mind Pump episode. She's for sure a reflection of a lot of what we talk about. I said, not only do I think it will benefit your body, I said, it'll also help you with all the sales funnels and things and marketing that you're creating for us.
Because, you'll know our business better.
Yeah, you'll really understand our business. And when she starts to apply some of these things to you, I know the way your brain turns and works, it will give you lots of ideas. And he was like, yeah, you know, but this was crazy, right? And he's like, I just know that a big majority of my problems are stemmed from my extra weight that I'm carrying. So I just want to lose the weight. I'm just going to start running. He goes, I'm going to start running, right? So,
oh my God.
By the way, he's had neck surgery, low back surgery. He's had hip
replacement. It's such a common answer though.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to go run. And I'm like, no, don't you dare do that.
So you want to know why I referred him to her? Because some of the things that she brings to the table that she's excellent at that I've learned from her are the things that he needs the most help with. So the whole slowing down, functional flexibility, when to apply exercise the right way. Plus, not to mention, because, and I hate to say this, but it is true, sometimes men do better working with women because they don't feel the need to kind of have their ego
off all the time.
Yeah, because a lot of times if a guy trains another man, that guy who's being trained sometimes wants to lift more because he's with another man. Sometimes when it's women, that happens too. But other times with a woman, they'll feel like, okay, I can kind of show a little vulnerability because she's training me. And, you know, and I think that would have been perfect.
Well, especially if they're super deconditioned.
You know what I said to him? This is what I did with him. I said, take your shoes off, take your socks off right now. And I made him and my aunt do the same thing. I said, this is the type of stuff Jessica's going to do with you, right? I said, this is your thought process. Let me show you what it would really be more like. And so I said, take your shoes off, take your socks off. I walked him and my aunt over the wall. I did the prime compass test on them real quick. I said, okay, you know, feel this. This is where your posture is supposed to be a little bit. And I walked him back over, and he has this hallway that's probably about, I don't know, from here to the end of the wall here, so about 15 feet. And I said, now that I had him all barefoot, postured upright, I said, now what I want you to do is you're going to walk to that door over there, but I want it to take you 30 minutes. I'll be back. And he was like, huh? He was just like, what? I said, yeah, man. And when every step you take, I want you to think about it. And I kind of give an example of how I wanted him to walk, like hella slow, and just being mindful of his entire body and his posture and the things that I just showed him against the wall. And I'm all, this is where you need to start. You need to start here. You need to address just becoming aware of.
No wonder he hasn't called her back yet.
No, they actually talked today, I guess.
Oh, does it?
I just want to run, man.
You know, you know who she's interning or just kind of volunteering with right now? Hmm. Dr. Brink.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's great. So she's in his office right now, and she's just helping out and basically just so she can observe. And, you know, Dr. Brink is just such a generous fucking cool guy. So he's come hang out.
And he's just he has a plethora of knowledge, man.
Oh, yes. Dude, if you could just, if anybody could go and just sit there and like observe, mm-hmm. you'll come out one day more information that you'll get in months of taking other courses and classes.
He's my go-to, man. If there's something that I can't figure out with a client 100%, and most any of my clients that are listening to this, they've probably already met him because they've had an issue. Because mm-hmm. if I can't get to the bottom of it, like that's the guy I go to reach out and help me. Or if I got something going on with myself, you know, because that's
it's great when you meet someone who not only teaches you new things in a field that you feel that you're an expert in. That's awesome, by the way. If you feel like you're like I know a lot about my job and I've been doing it for years. And then you meet someone who teaches you a bunch of new stuff about your job. That's great. But what's even better than that is that they change the way you think about the way you do things.
And oh, right.
Brink literally did that. It wasn't just the information that I learned from him. It was changing how I think about things surrounding, you know, fitness and function.
It's changed it 100% has changed the way I talk to a client too. It's changed the way I
squat assessment, all that. I'm looking at the feet and the ankles.
I look at it totally different now. In fact, that's a perfect example. Take the squat assessment, something that we've been doing for almost 20 years to people. The first place I've always been trained to look is like head, hands, and mm-hmm. their shoulders. Yeah. I don't even look there anymore.
No.
Yeah. It's like to me, the feet tell me so much more about the rest of the body that. It's the first place I look. And I think that, you know, being somebody who's been in this field for as long as we all have, it's probably one of the most neglected areas because I've gone this long without really diving that deep into it to really fully understand and grasp it. And it was so funny when he enlightened me and showed me all the issues that I had been dealing with for as long as I had and then connected them to my feet. It seemed so obvious. I was like, mm-hmm. it was one of those like hand to face, like, oh my God, like, how have I not pieced this together? Like, duh, of course. Like, I've been wearing shoes like every day of my life forever. Like, of course I've lost a good connection to the ground. And like, what would happen if I wore fucking snow gloves every
day? My toes don't have to look like this.
Right.
Like, what?
Right.
What?
Right.
Say what?
Freaking crazy, man.
Do you think, Justin, it'll save you from learning what we've learned, save you from having to get like any type of, because didn't you say you might have to get surgery or something?
Yeah. Like my dad basically got every single toe broken, like so he could flatten them out because they were curling excessively underneath his foot. So this hammer toe sort of thing. Yeah, so I will do everything I can not to get that.
It sounds like a badass surgery. Like a badass wrestling move, but it's not. It's something you don't
the
want.
Hammer toe. Yeah.
You don't want it.
So did now, you say they had to get him like broke?
Yeah, like they broke all of his toes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because you're fucking.
Put them out and you want to do it at the same time.
Dude, your bones you don't go through that grow again. That way.
Yeah.
And then they have to break them to fix them.
And I can visibly see it happening. You know, it's like, oh. Like I have anxiety about a couple things, dude. It's my toes, and then it's my teeth. Mm. It's the T's.
Wow,
The T's.
Yeah.
So
it's a good thing you don't have titties.
My teeth.
Now because of that, do you make a conscious effort to go barefoot more often because of that? I mean, is that
totally and like spread them apart and you know lift up onto my toes and get in beast position and all that shit, dude. I'm like on it. Because that's one of those things. I'm always thinking about, you know, the state of my toes and my teeth.
Well, it amazed me when I after seeing Brink and then going addressing all the issues that I have, and then starting to actually see some progress and make some good moves and seeing my squat improve and then my ankle mobility and then starting to strengthen that, I realized like God how weak my feet were. Like, my feet were just pussies.
I still can't do that.
You got
short
pussy
foot.
Feet, man.
Yeah
just
I can do short foot seated pretty easily now. Standing is still very difficult, but seated I can kind
of
do it.
I don't know if you guys mess around with it, but one of my favorite things, and I know I did a post about this maybe about 6 months ago, that I have incorporated into my training, that I like it because I feel like I'm getting to do something, work on a couple of things while also, because foot strength just sounds boring, right? Let's be honest. Like, yeah. Who wants to go to the gym? Like, hey, I'm going to go work on some foot strength today, right?
Some foot drills.
Right. So if I can find ways that
you got a fetish?
I can incorporate it with something else, I really enjoy it. So the tippy toe squats have been a game changer for me because it allows me to work on my hip, ankle mobility, and then my foot strength all at the same time. And it's actually kind of fun to do it. I'm actually squatting, and so then I definitely get some leg quad drive going in there. So it's not like I'm just doing some basic foot exercises, and it's kind of cool to be able to stabilize on your tippy toes like that and squat down with decent weight on your back. It's not that easy, and so it was fun to progress doing that and see how much carryover it had into everything else.
Mm. See, I do a lot of foot exercises when I'm sitting. I've made it a habit now. So like while I'm sitting, if I'm watching something, if I'm reading, if I'm writing, while we're podcasting, I'm constantly doing things with my feet just to kind of, you know, try to get better connection. I noticed that my foot was so flat and so pronated that first thing I did is I strengthened like short foot so I can strengthen the muscles inside the arch of my foot.
Mm-hmm.
Worked on my ankles because that also caused my ankles to fucking cave in. But now what I'm really noticing, my pinky like doesn't do shit. Like if I just relax, my pinky is almost off the floor. Like it's not even making contact with the floor.
It's very calm.
So I'm like consciously gripping the floor with my pinky each time. It's a long, slow, arduous, boring, shitty process. But I'm starting to see some.
That's why it's not in P90X.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think if you just do little things like what we're all saying is, you just start to incorporate you first become aware of it. I think, and most people are just unaware. They're unaware. Like myself, that was a major issue. Like, had I known that was a major issue 10 years ago, I'd probably be much further along today than I am now. But, you know, because I would be doing these little things like I am right now. Since we've been sitting here, I've kicked my shoes off already and I'm moving my toes. And I try to be bare. I just make a conscious effort to do that. Where in the past, I wouldn't even think to do that. Yeah. I would
just sit there and relax.
Yeah. Right. I don't think to take my shoes off and kind of, I can be exercising my feet while I'm also doing.
That's a good point. Because subconsciously, that's always in the back of my head. So I'll do drills and I'll do things as I'm just hanging out at home, you know, and kind of waiting around or watching TV or whatever it is. Like, I'm always kind of like mobility is on my radar, you know, whether it's the hips or our feet. Because a lot of driving, I have to counter a lot of my seated position driving and especially striking with my right foot constantly.
Yeah, so, yeah. Hey, which one of you two took all the fucking juices?
I mean, I took one. I went through like two of those.
You only taken
juices.
One also?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've taken two. So
can I be honest? Of all the because obviously we're sponsored by Organifi, so they provide us with all this product.
Man, it's a good
thing. Which, you know, we had we're tested and tried it. Or whatever. Yeah. The one that I was like, I'm probably not going to use that much was the green juice.
I know, isn't that funny?
And that's my
we all said
my
favorite.
They're all fighting over it.
Yeah. That's my favorite one.
I didn't even
think I would be using it that much, but that's the one I like the most.
No, it surprised me how well it tastes. I've tried
so refreshing.
I've tried green juices, all kinds of different brands, and I've never found a brand that I really like. Mm-hmm. And that to wear it to first make me consistent about drinking it, because it's one of those things too that you got to do kind of consistently first, right? So it's not like drink it and then all of a sudden you, oh my God, my workout, like when you take creatine, right? Somebody who's never taken creatine before and they go take creatine and they go work
within
out.
5 days, you're like, fuck,
yeah,
I'm way stronger.
Right, yeah, right away. And within your workouts, you typically notice it right away. Something like this, I feel like you need to be using it for like a week or two consistently before you really start to be able to go, oh, wait a second, you know what? Now that I think about it, I haven't had to take a nap. I haven't been like down like this.
Yeah, it's like the energy is what I know. And so now I'm experimenting with, because I was doing it once a day, once every other day, again, because I want to really see if I'm noticing any benefit from it. Again, I like the taste, I like the ingredients. And of course, we like the company and what they stand for. But I started doing it 2 times a day and 3 times a day to see if I notice a difference taking it more versus taking it less. And the energy is one of them. It's like a kind of sense of well-being. Mm-hmm. And then my gut health is like fucking amazing. And I can't think of anything else I've really changed aside from that. And of course, my nutrition is good and everything else is good. So it's not like I just threw that in. Everything else is good too, but it seems to be really affecting my gut health very, very well. And it makes sense if you look at the ingredients and stuff, but I didn't expect all that.
Well, you did say it, and I think we all agreed when we first did sign with Organifi that we said, like, ah, you know, I know for sure I'm going to use the protein like crazy. I was interested in what the red juice was all about. I don't really use probiotics that often. I use them like as needed. So I wasn't like super excited about that. And I pretty much said, like, I doubt I'll try the green juice. And hands down, what I've used the most and what I like the most is for sure the green juice. It's funny. Yeah,
wild.
Totally.
Today's Quaw is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quaw.
The eagle has landed.
All right, our first question is from Natural Healthy Warrior. How do you recommend using MAPS Prime and Prime Pro without spending hours a day working out?
This is a good question. And I think that...
Do it at your house.
I thought we kind of talked about this when we first discussed Prime and how we all use Prime and Prime Pro. To me, it's like I pick things and I have like an order of operation. Like, I'm just like anybody else. I have a ton of imbalances and areas that I can improve upon that will make my well-being much better. And any sort of nagging pains I have, I can address those if I put the time and effort into it. And so you just kind of look at it like that. Like, okay, how important is it? So if I got things that are, I have aches and pains, things that are limiting me from exercising or feeling good throughout the day, like that's a high priority. So in fact, it becomes such a priority, it becomes more of a priority than even my training session. But if there's areas where you're not really hindered, but you know you should be working a little bit, well, then you intermittently put them in with your workouts. But this is so individualized because I absolutely can see where some people absolutely could be and should be spending hours probably working on Prime Pro. Yeah. And then other people that, you know, it's good to have that in your arsenal. And,
yeah, they kind of weave in and out using it and using the techniques. Yeah, because it really just depends where you are. And like the benefit to these programs is really finding out kind of where you are, like what you're capable of, what your joint integrity consists of, like what your mobility status is. It's just good information to acquire. And then that way, you know, when things kind of lead up, like there's a buildup. I used to bench press quite a bit, and my goal was to bench press like over 400 pounds. And so my goal for a while was just, I'm just going to rip as much weight as I can. And, you know, there was a lead up of tension in my right shoulder. And I just felt this impending issue that was going to arise out of this. And, you know, if I had this type of a program to then, you know, apply proper priming, you know, pre-post, like kind of really help to, you know, support my shoulder completely, I probably would have been able to reach that goal and stay in, you know, what I was trying to accomplish.
Yeah, so I
got hurt.
I can kind of understand where they're coming from with this question, because if you're learning about health and fitness and wellness, you're hearing information like stretch this much all the time and you got to do this cardio and you got to do this resistance training. Oh, if you lift, make sure you figure out your imbalances so you correct them, and, you know, make sure you eat this way. And so people are like, oh my God, how can anybody do this unless they don't work, unless they don't have a life? You know, that's what they think. Here's two things. First, let's put things in context. Let's be realistic. I'll use another statistic that'll explain what I'm talking about. The average person in America spends around 2 hours a day on social media every single day. Okay, that's the average person.
It's more than that, by the way.
Teenagers spend even more than that. And I just read another. You might have read statistics that say even more.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
But that's valuable time.
So right. So first off, you have time. It's all about prioritizing and making time. So let's not forget that, okay? Second off, it's all about how you live your regular day, which is much more important than the time you take aside to spend, you know, with a structural workout. And what I mean by that is, let's say you think, oh, I need to do 30 minutes of cardio or 40 minutes of cardio every single day. Well, instead of doing that, instead of taking 40 minutes out of your day to go to a gym or get on a bike or get on a treadmill and do cardio, what if every 2 or 3 hours you went for a 10-minute walk? Just that's it. Every 2 or 3 hours you have an alarm. Okay, I'm going to take a break and take a 10-minute walk. By the way, there's a lot of shit you can do while you're doing a 10-minute walk. So if you think, oh my God, I can't because I need to get on this call or I need to answer these questions on, you know, email, or guess what you can do while you walk? You can do all those things.
All right.
So all of these things can be implemented and incorporated into your life. That's why fitness is a lifestyle, not because you're this devoted maniac and you devote 2 structured hours a day to exercise, but because your life is structured around making it so that you're a healthier type of individual. The correctional elements that are found, and I'll just talk about MAPS Prime and Prime Pro because that's the person talked about them in the question. Taking those correctional elements and applying them to yourself, you can do that throughout the day. Like Prime Pro, for example, once you discover the correctional movements that you need to do for your body in Prime Pro, you can devote literally 5 minutes, I don't know, 3-4 times a day on doing them, which is not much time.
90% of those movements and exercises that we have in both those programs, I actually don't do it structured like my workout.
You do them throughout the day.
You can do them anywhere.
Throughout the day.
Yeah. Doesn't require
I do them throughout the day, and I do them according to what my body's telling me. Like, I know I've got all these little issues going on, everything from my ankle pronating to bursitis in my hip to a little bit of a forward shoulder on my right side. Like, I mean, I've got all these little things, right? I've got the golfer's elbow on the other side. And I know that, you know, if I'm neglecting it, those things all start to get exaggerated. And so throughout the day, if I actually can feel one of those things, I'm getting down and I'm doing my 90-90s and I'm doing combat stretch and I'm doing these little movements that I know will help get me reconnected to the areas that are causing these nagging pains in my body, and so which is all the stuff that's in Prime and Prime Pro.
Yeah, it's like standing and sitting. I mean, it's whatever, you know, whenever you think of it, like there's a couple moves that you can just do on the spot. So whatever you're doing, you're sitting, you're working on something, you could be in a 90-90 position working on your computer. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to implement this. Like, well, Sal said, it's a lifestyle.
That's a perfect example right there too. Like, I mean, ever since I went through all this myself and realized that, you know, where this bursitis in my hips was coming from and why and what I could do to help it. You know, if you ever catch me sitting on the ground now, I won't just lay on my side or lay how I used to or sit Indian stuff. I'll get in a 90-90 position and I'll actively work on it while I'm sitting there. Like, it's not like strenuous work.
No.
But me just putting myself in that 90-90 position and getting connected, pressing my knee and ankle down, elevating my internally and externally, rotating my hips while I'm in that position. I mean, I'm working on it.
So
you just start to treat it more like that versus this daunting, long, regimen. We structured that way so people had the guidance.
Exactly. We had to write something for somebody to follow, right? Because you can't just get something and be like, oh, well, do it whenever, you know, you feel like it.
Right, right.
People don't operate that way.
Like, you need some kind of a structure. So we provided that as an initial sort of foundation, but definitely make it work for your everyday life.
I'll tell you what. Whatever you do. Here's the routine, general structure, and don't forget that the difference between individuals can be pretty dramatic. But generally speaking, if you're looking for a relatively decent level of fitness, health, and longevity, where you look healthy, you're relatively lean, you feel good, your workout schedule will look something like this: 2 or 3 days a week of structured, you know, maybe 45 to 60 minutes of resistance training, and the rest of your training, your flexibility, your cardio, your correctional stuff can be put in throughout the day and put around your day. In other words, you don't need to structure and take out and carve out an hour of exercise except for maybe resistance training, because that kind of requires that. Like, you can't necessarily build muscle and get stronger, you know, here and there because you don't have access to weights. Unless you work in a gym, then maybe that might work a little bit too, but maybe probably not. So you don't need to devote a shit ton of structured time to fitness and exercise. It's really, most of it is just like we're saying, throughout the day. I even did this yesterday. Yesterday we were in a meeting with a company now that's going to be handling our social media and internet presence. And the meeting was from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Now, I have a very difficult time sitting in a chair and paying attention to something. It's just very difficult for me. Call it ADD, call it whatever. It's very, very tough for me. And so in the meeting, a lot of times I was standing, I put my foot up on the chair and I do these hip stretches and movements, and it actually helps me pay attention. You can do this when you're working on your email, when you're on your computer. You can sit in a particular stretch. You can activate the muscles of your feet, strengthen your posture. You could do all these when you're watching TV, when you're having a conversation with your spouse. Me and my girlfriend, many times, if we're just hanging out and talking, we'll be on the floor and just kind of going through stretches. It doesn't need to always be these hardcore structured, you know, type of sessions. In fact, the super frequent practice is probably more effective, especially on a correctional, from a correctional component.
Oh, for sure. I agree with that.
Quick commercial break, you guys. We keep getting asked all the time, how can I support the Mind Pump family? Here's one of the best ways you guys can. You guys love that Chimera coffee that we have. Chimera coffee with a K. You go to chimeracoffee.com, put in the discount code Mind Pump for 10% at the checkout. If you guys have not tried Ben Greenfield's new bars out, they're fantastic. If you want some, go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/naturebite, put in the code Mind Pump and get 10% off. Go check it out.
Next up is Sayon One. How do you recomp your body? In other words, lose fat while gaining muscle. Are you supposed to be in a surplus or a deficit?
So changing the composition of your body means basically, you know, let's say I weigh 180 pounds and my body fat is 20%, which is pretty high for a guy. And recomping would be I drop, 6% body fat. So now I'm 14% body fat.
But your weight stays the same.
But my weight is the same because I've added muscle to replace that body fat.
I think it's important to note that, first of all, it's not happening at the exact same time, right? So if you're catabolic at the moment, like we're burning fat and you're not building muscle, but over a week or a 2 week time,
they trade off.
Yeah, you can trade off, right? So there's moments where you can be in a surplus, or you just fed really hard, had a good training, you sent a good muscle building signal, you had a great training session, and so then you've sent a signal to build and you've fed properly and, you know, put yourself in a surplus, then the body is now growing, but then you turn right back around and go catabolic again. So
it's all about where your body. So if I'm, let's use that example again, 180 pounds, I'm dropping body fat, gaining muscle, and let's say I'm consuming 2,000 calories a day, and that's what I consumed before too. The difference is in changing where my body uses and places those calories. It's literally prioritizing or changing the list of priorities. Mm. And you can see this. There's lots of examples of this. Like somebody who gets an illness can eat the same amount of food, all of a sudden lose weight because maybe they have a cancerous tumor. Or you can change someone's hormones, keep their calories the same, and they'll either gain muscle or gain body fat depending on the hormone profile. You could do this through exercise as well. So the most important key to having your body change its composition without changing its body weight is in the stimulus that you send your body through exercise.
You have to prioritize that signal. So that's, one of the main things that sparked the trigger sessions, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's something that, if you think of the training element of it, it's definitely the frequency and it's the volume and it's the loudness of the signal you're providing that, yes, this environment is going to need muscle. It's going to need muscle to overcome this. And so just kind of having this push-pull situation with, your calories of, kind of being restricted because, we don't need to store necessarily all the time. So it's this push-pull, these little sort of mini cuts, bulk kind of you're playing
with. Yeah, you're going to generally be aiming for, and I say generally because like what Adam and Justin are saying, there's going to be moments you're going to want to be in a surplus and you want to play a deficit. I actually never, almost ever recommend consistent calories every day, no matter what, even if you want to lose fat or gain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always recommending this fluctuation, but generally you want to aim for, if your goal is recomp without your body weight changing, generally you want to aim for maintenance. However, that maintenance number is going to change if you are indeed doing a good job changing your body's composition. Because if you are, in fact, gaining 5 pounds of muscle while losing 5 pounds of fat, the likelihood of your metabolism being the same as low. If what's probably happened now is your metabolic rate has increased,
right,
because you have more muscle. So that maintenance is going to have to go up. So the reason why this is so hard for people to do and why people will either just lose or just gain, it's because it requires constant observation.
Yeah. This is...
it's a lot harder.
Yeah, this is next level shit right here. And this is why we don't talk about this very often. And most people will recommend either do one or the other, right? Either bulk or either lean out. Like, we definitely advocate a very slow, gradual leaning out or bulking process, or like what we talk about, the mini cuts, the mini bulks, which is pretty much creating that environment. This is also how I like to use carb cycling. So if this is a goal of mine, I just did it not that long ago, or, you know, I'll change my body composition without letting my weight fluctuate more than a pound or two. And that's what I'm trying to do when I do that, is like, okay, I'm going to lean out right now and I don't want to just...
You base it more off your rigorous activity and...
And so what I'll do is, and I do like to carb cycle, so I'll have these lower... And when I carb cycle, like I actually, when I drop the carbohydrates, I allow that to also be my lower calorie, where some people will replace the calories with fat. I'll actually let that be lower calorie because the goal is to burn fat too. So I'm going to have 2 days where I'm going to be kind of lower calorie, catabolic, I know for sure, for 2 days in a row. And then I'll have a higher refeed day, and I try and time that around major muscle groups that I'm trying to focus on or a good training session. So, you know, that has been a good strategy for me to be able to monitor myself closely and make sure that I can do that while also trying to lose body fat. But yeah, this is a tough thing.
Black belt level.
Yeah, it is. And to be
at least in the long term, because initially when you first start training a client, if you're a good trainer, in the first month, you'll probably see recomp. Like, I can't tell you, I've had people want to lose weight, and usually in the first month, I don't let them lose weight. But when I test their body fat and stuff, I'm like, oh, it looks like you actually lost a couple pounds of fat, but you gained a couple pounds of muscle. And that's just because they were deconditioned.
So that was the other piece that I was going to add to someone trying this. This is, not only is this black belt shit because it's challenging on the monitoring side and the tracking and what the boys are saying, but it's also black belt on the level, the psychological piece, because when someone sets a goal to build muscle or lose fat, most of us attach the scale number to that. So it's really tough mentally for a young boy who's trying to put size on. And I remember being this young boy trying to put weight on. I just wanted to be 200 pounds. I didn't say I had to be a certain body. I never seen 200 pounds. I had such a hard time gaining weight. I just want to gain weight. And if the scale wasn't moving, I assumed I wasn't eating enough. And so that was my only indicator, when really I could have been right on track building muscle, but that fucks with that, and vice versa, and more so the other way, right? It's more common that we hear, you know, the guy or the girl comes in and that needs to lose a bunch of weight, and they're looking at the scale every single day. And even though they can be doing much better not moving, like Sal said, like keeping them the same, it's tough to keep people focused when the scale is not showing them the number that they want. Even though what's really happening is really good and they're making great progress, it's still slow in the grand scheme of things.
It's always a conversation I have to have with people before, during, and after the process to explain to them, you know, what's going on. But, you know, if your body wants to, this is, and nobody will debate this, if your body wants to use the same amount of calories that you're already eating to build muscle, it will. And because it's using more calories towards muscle, or, you know, what do they call nutrient repartitioning, I think is the term that you'll use for this, you will lose body fat because your body now is going to be utilizing energy from your fat because you're putting more of the food that you're eating towards muscle. If your body wants to do that, it'll happen. And you can do this with proper exercise to a certain extent. That's the key here. If you take someone and you have them lift weights properly to where their body's really getting this effective muscle building signal for their body, they don't even have to change their food intake that much. They're going to get leaner as a side effect of their body prioritizing muscle building with the calories that you're consuming. So, you know, and the reason why I want to make a point of that is I think diet is extremely important, but we've made diet seem like that's the only factor to where your workout doesn't really matter.
No.
It's all diet.
You know what? I was just thinking of like some other tips I can give this person of like, what are some of the signals, Adam, that you're looking at when you're going through this? And I'm like, okay, another thing that then this is a conversation I'm constantly having with myself when I'm going through this process is, you know, I don't want the scale to move. And I know that if I'm making better food choices and I know that my volume in the gym is the same or higher, I know I'm making good progress. I know things are happening. I know that my body is being fed better than it's ever been fed. So I gotta believe that all of my systems are running better than what they were the week before I was feeding them that way. So you got to think that your systems are running more efficiently. And then I know that my volume is the same or higher than what it was the previous week. Change is happening. I may not see it on the scale. I may not see yet in the reflection of the mirror yet. But if I'm paying attention to those things and I'm really paying attention to them, I know good things are happening. And then you better believe if I can increase my calories and I can increase my volume of training and my scale still doesn't move, then I know I'm definitely winning. Like, I've increased volume. I've added more calories to the diet. Scale's not moving, but I've added volume to my training and calories to my diet. We're building muscle, man. And we're just losing fat too.
So I'm a great example of this. My body weight doesn't change that much relatively recently. So over the last maybe few years where I've really just kind of become in tune with my body, my weight will go between 184, 190 maybe. It rarely ever does it go over about 190. And I don't even weigh myself that often. It's just when I weigh myself, I notice that it kind of stays around the same. So my body weight doesn't change much, but the way it looks can change pretty dramatically when my training is really good and on point, when my gut health is good, when my sleep is good. So I know there's some recomp going on. I know that it's more than just like the couple pounds on the scale. It's just the way. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm like, whoa, man, I look really lean right now. And then I'll weigh myself and I'll be 190, which is a little heavier than I normally am. So I'm like, okay, I guess I must have more muscle than I normally do. So, but yeah, this is it's a great question because it is difficult, but it's totally possible. And it's all about the signals that you send your body, which a big part of that has to do with your workout. So if you have a good workout program where you're performing well, even if you don't change your food intake necessarily, you may see some recomp going on.
Next question is from That Man Ant. What are your thoughts on the functional patterns guy?
Oh, here we go.
The Man Ant.
You know, I didn't know who he was until just recently. I want to say, was it Joe DeFranco I heard him call out first? I don't remember who I heard him talking shit about first.
Brett Contreras, for sure.
Yeah, maybe it was Brett. And then I remembered a conversation we had with this guy. And I don't remember this kid's name. But remember the fitness leader guy over at Club Sport? I can't think of his name.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But he mentioned this guy, and he talked all about it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he mentioned
Club Sport. Yeah,
that was the first time I'd ever heard of him.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah, I got into it with him, this and that. You guys know who this guy is? I'm like, no, I don't know who this guy is. And I looked him up for a second. I'm like, I mean, guys, he's putting out some good information. But I was like, okay, whatever, never thought of him again.
Yeah.
Well, then recently I saw someone tagged me on a post where he's laying into Joe DeFranco, and then another post where Brett Contreras. And then I dove into his stuff.
Yeah.
And what sucks, this is what's a bummer, and I feel bad for him because I know he's on a mission to build his own little empire, and I think he's giving out some really good fitness information. I think he's very knowledgeable. I think he's got a lot of good information. And he's using the tactic, you know, like the, you know, East Coast versus West Coast.
All inflammatory.
Yeah, like, you know, let's start all the beef and battles to get attention, and any pub is great pub, and, you know, that type
of... Which works in the short term.
It does. It's very short term, very, very short term, and it will get people to look your way and attention. It's unfortunate because I don't think he needs to do that. I think he's got great information. I think he can build an incredible community off of some of the knowledge. I do, though, okay, the one knock that I have, I do think that he's an example of some of the guys, too, that I talk about that become so married to their ideology or their modality that they probably could spend some time powerlifting or spend some time doing some of these other things. Now, he may not ever care to be that strong or run that fast or... I don't know what his personal goals are. Maybe he doesn't want to build that much more muscle. He likes his physique where it's at. But personally, for me, I want to be a bigger, stronger guy. And, you know, I like that. And so it requires me lifting some heavy ass weight. Do I have a bunch of fucking imbalances that I should be addressing? Absolutely. I'm always working on those things. So, you know, I'm not a real fan of his how he goes about doing things. I think he does give some good information out there for sure. And I think that his business would do better if he didn't use that as his only approach.
Yeah,
that's my take.
His information is, I mean, he's a very smart guy. He's got some great information. I like the stuff that he posts. He just comes across as a big asshole. I mean, that's a problem because there's a lot of, and we know a few people like this in fitness. I'm not going to name any names, but we know personally know a few people like this where they've got good information, but a lot of people don't want to listen to them because they're assholes. And here's what's going to happen. I don't know this guy's name. I don't know the Functional Patterns guy's first name.
Yeah, I don't either.
But here's what's going to happen.
I know that's his Instagram.
That's his Instagram.
Yeah, his Instagram name.
Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen to you. Somebody's going to learn your stuff, and they're going to present it, and they're going to present it in a way and not be assholes, and they're going to fucking blow up, and you're not. And they're going to copy you. And they're going to take a lot of your stuff. So that's what you got to be careful for when a lot of your attention is coming from you calling people out and talking a lot of crap. Now, I know Mind Pump also has been guilty of doing this as well. However, that is not our MO, and it's not the only thing we do. And we also make sure to point out.
Well, there's ways to do it,
and the good that
he's very inflammatory the way he does. I mean, it's like
he just hasn't like calmed down. You know, he's escalated. And I used to follow him ever since that guy kind of pointed him out. I was like, oh, interesting. He's you know, does a lot of rotational work, and he, you know, tries to educate as much as possible, like biomechanics and, you know, proper way to, you know, joints should move, and like it's good information. It's just like he really, really like got into this whole like negative stint of taking down everybody else's methodologies and not highlighting any of the actual benefit that maybe there are some things to point out, right? Maybe CrossFit has some things that, you know, I have a problem with, and, you know, I'm more than happy to vocalize it, but also I'm going to admit some things that they did very well. And, you know, that you could take elements of that and apply it and put it into, you know, your own programming and in your own way of, you know, training your body. And so there's gems in a lot of these different directions that he's just immediately like burning completely and trying to claim that like his one way is the only way.
He's an example of like a lot of what we don't like with academia. You know, it turns into this pissing contest on, you know, who
can argue the best.
Well, you know, whose modality is better, you know, whose way of training is healthier for the masses or whatever, or gets the most results. Like, it just depends on what you're arguing here. But I it's so lame that we get into these, you know, boxes where everybody wants to, my box is better than your box, and the way I do things is better than the way
you
do things.
My box is shaped.
It's like, okay, dude, like, I think it was.
I'll read one of his posts just so you guys get an idea of, like, this is what he's getting known for so far from what I've heard from other people.
Yeah.
Is focused around this kind of stuff. So he did a whole post on yoga, and he's like, your yoga is as hypermobility inducing as the next one. Yours still strictly relies on longitudinal stability to get you through each pose. Your yoga is bullshit, just like all CrossFit is bullshit, just like all religions are bullshit. Like, you didn't have to say a lot of that, dude.
Right. Way to just fucking just
spit out my Cheerios.
Like, just carve off, like, I don't know, a few million people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
fuck everyone.
And, you know, he's getting attention through it, but, and it sucks because a lot of his mobility works fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
I love a lot of the stuff he puts out. It's just, again, dude, you're
it's just too much.
What do they say? You can attract more honeys with honey than you can with shit. Quick commercial break. Hey, people ask us all the time how they can support Mind Pump. Here's what you can do. You can go to www.brain.fm/mindpump and get 20% off Brain FM for meditation or focus. You can also go to audibletrial.com/mindpump and get a 30-day trial plus one free audio book. Lastly, you can go to getnatureblend.com/mindpump and you will get a discount on Ben Greenfield's CBD product.
Next is strength to overcome. How do you guys handle people telling you what you should or should not do with your lives as if they know better?
Whoa. Oh, this was directed. Is this the one that was directed to Adam?
It was, and it was, and he went on to talk a little bit more about, like, I guess him and his wife have been together, or her and his wife. I can't remember if it was the wife or the guy who was messaging this, but they said that they've been together for 7 years, and everybody's trying to get them to have kids. And the reason why I said, you know, this is a hot topic for me currently is, you know, Katrina and I are 36 and 37 this year. And we've been together over 6 years, and we're not married. We don't have kids. And those that have listened to the show for a long time kind of understand or kind of know my stance on the marriage thing and all that. I've kind of openly discussed that. And I have a similar stance with the kid thing. Is I just right now, she is heavily motivated career-wise right now. So she's climbing the ranks in her profession. I'm in the middle of building the largest business I've ever built in my life. So I just don't see, me being the father that I would want to be right now. Do I think that I can, and this is what people always like to tell me, right? Like, oh, you'll just make it happen. You know, like it's crazy when you have a kid, like, well, yeah, well, what if I don't fucking want to do that? Like, I don't want to put extra stress or I don't need extra motivation for anything in my life.
It's so weird to me how people get insulted. Like personally, like they personally get insulted because you don't want to have a kid.
Well, so you know what
that's fucking weird.
You know that is really weird.
Well, what it's that strange. Shows yeah. me and why I wanted to address this for this person and the way I handle this because it happens is a major insecurity on their part and what they're going through.
They want you to be as miserable as they are.
It is. Misery loves company. And that's all that goes through my head when I feel like someone is so passionate to tell me why I should have children and why I should be married. I go,
or they're just insanely judgmental and they need to calm the fuck down.
Right.
Like, I think that they're probably thinking like, oh, you don't like kids? Why don't you like kids? You don't want to do that? Why don't you? Like, again, like, why is it so insulting to someone? It would be like if I asked you, hey, Adam, how come you don't you don't own a pair of red shoes? I don't know. I don't want any.
What?
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, you don't want it. Like, okay, so
I'm not even a person until.
So this actually hits me a little personally as well because, not because I have kids, obviously, but I have a sister who doesn't have kids and doesn't want to have kids. Now, you guys know my family, old school, traditional, Italian, Catholic family. And you and especially she's a girl and she doesn't want to have children. You can imagine the pushback that she gets from or she got from everybody in my family.
Yeah.
Everybody, especially the women in the family who tell her basically in not so many words that your purpose for being here on earth, especially as a woman, is to have a child. Like, this is the things that they tell. Like, what are you doing?
Wow.
You're going to regret it. It's going to be the worst decision you ever made. You're going to be lonely when you're older. You're going to, you know, this, that, and the other. And I tell these people, because I defend her, first of all, do what you want. If you don't want to do something, like, one of the worst things I think you could possibly do is have a kid when you don't want one.
Right.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Right,
that
right.
makes no sense to me.
That's a horrible situation to be in. I could not imagine having my two kids and not wanting them.
Right.
That's when you get, like, you know, parents that are not there or, you know, disconnected. Not saying that that's what you would do, but it's just weird.
Well, and it's
talk about the wrong reason.
It's not even that. It's not even that I would even be afraid of being that, because we've talked about this before off air that, you know, I'm not the type of father that would be disconnected or not love my children.
You'd be an awesome dad.
Yeah, and everybody says, oh, you would be such a great dad, and I believe that. But I also believe that I'm at a very selfish point in my life, and I also believe that there were certain goals, which, you know, everybody has their own goals. So fuck you to come and tell me what my goals should or should not be. And I had a vision for myself a long time ago on where I wanted to be in my life when I settled down and had a family and kids, and I'm not currently there, and I don't want to do that until I am. And that could mean I'm 50. That could mean never. Like, to me, I'm open to all those possibilities. Like, I'm not that hell-bent on having a child or being married that is more important. It's just not for me. And it sucks that I can't openly share that and say that that's who I am and just and be recognized for being truthful and honest with myself and others than to put on this pretend –
oh, well, we're going to. And I remember when Katrina and I first got together. So she comes from a large Hispanic family. And the tons of brothers and sisters and cousins, and everybody gets together every weekend. It reminds me of when I dated a girl that was Italian, and they had the same thing. They had this big family, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful, and I love all of them. And they have a harder time with it than anybody else. It's just, when are you guys going to have kids? When are you guys going to have kids?
It's because they identify. It's weird to me. Like, they ask you the question, hey, when are you going to have kids? You answer, oh, we don't want kids. And immediately you owe them an explanation.
Yeah.
Why is that
You just struck on something. It's their identity. Because, after having kids, there's definitely it transforms you. Like, you change.
Sure.
But some people identify way too much
A lot of people identify with it as the greatest thing they have accomplished in their life,
which is weird.
Yeah. So I don't want to be that. Like, I don't want to.
Let's talk about the math. That
I don't
want to
tell this my story. And the part of my story is the greatest accomplishment I ever did was having my children. I'm sorry. I don't want that to be my story. Like, it, maybe it's yours. Maybe. Yeah. And if you love your children that much, then that's awesome.
And what's crazy about this is I guarantee you're offending some people right now.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And it's. Here's the thing, too. By the way, this doesn't just talk. We're talking about the kids question, but this applies to everything. Like.
The marriage thing, too.
Anything.
Yeah,
anything.
I get it, like, for both a marriage.
Somebody doesn't want to live like you, but they're not affecting you in any other way. Like, they're not hurting you. They're not stealing from you. They're not whatever. Why does it offend you the way that someone else lives, even if it doesn't affect you? It shouldn't. So always goes back to you. Like, if someone tells me, and I've dealt with this myself, like, if I've met people who I thought were super talented, smart, charismatic individuals who just don't give a shit about being successful. And they'll tell me, like, I don't really care, Sal. I just want to kind of work and earn a little bit of money. And I almost get offended, like, oh, how dare you, fucking work hard, man. You're wasting all this talent. And I think to myself, why?
Why are you imposing that on them?
Yeah, who cares? That's them. Right. That's their choice.
That's where I'm at with the whole thing. Because, I could, from my own experience, obviously, it's like completely different than yours, and I'm not going to sit here and impose that on you. It's like, that's ridiculous to me.
Right.
Even me having kids was like an accident. You know what I mean? we did not plan for it to happen then. I was hoping to wait it out, but, we just rolled with it.
Yeah.
And then it became, what it is. But to tell you, like, hey, you have this timeline and you have this and you gotta make this happen, like, that's so crazy to me. I think people need to calm down.
Well, and people do it with the marriage thing. They don't understand that part of me either. And the irony in all of it, okay, is the people who are telling me that I need to get married,
divorced,
are like the people. Like, I look at their relationships and I'm like, I want, if you're the one giving me advice and this is what you think I should do, I don't want to do anything even close to that, because I don't want a relationship anything close to what you have. And you guys know me, right? You guys know me for quite some time, especially you, Justin. I guarantee, I don't know. Let me ask you, if you were to name the top five healthiest relationships that you know in your life, I guarantee you, Katrina and I probably crack that top five for everybody in this room.
No, you're number six, he said.
And I don't know, at least I don't know anybody else that has a relationship that, and I mean, we've been going for 6+ years. We've been through tons of stuff. We travel, we love each other. Like, our communication is better than anybody I know. It's like, I don't, why do I want to take advice from somebody who I don't look up to how they run their relationship or how they have their relationship,
right,
and to give me advice on the relationship? It cracks me up when people feel that need to do that. So I think you got to kind of have this, and I'm expressing this on the show and I'm vocalizing this. I don't really say anything to these people. I allow them to say it. And inside I'm going like, oh, this is obviously a reflection on themselves. Either one, they feel like they made mistakes on the decisions they made with their marriage or children or whatever. And so they feel like telling me either one is misery loves company, or two, they wish they would have done it differently. So they feel they want to live vicariously through me. So at the end of the day, them telling me about my life is truly a reflection of their own. Mm-hmm. And so only you know that better than anybody.
It used to actually, when I was younger, it would bother me if I heard someone say they didn't want to have children. And the reason why it would bother me is because it made me think that they didn't like kids.
Hmm.
And then I got to a point where I realized, number one, that doesn't necessarily mean you don't like kids. You could love kids and just not want to have them. Or two, maybe you don't like kids. That's fine too. Like, you don't have to like, right. You don't have, okay, you're not mean to kids, as long as you're not walking around kicking kids in the head.
Well, let's,
yeah, like, if you don't like them, you don't,
what people forget to realize is they were a kid once.
Well, let's break this, let's break this down a little bit.
But that's my point. Like,
let's break this down a little bit. And I'll, and let me share. And I know when we had the Girls Gone Wild, they said, you know, Adam, I wish you would share more of your childhood, your story. Let me tell you what led to my personality like this. Okay. I'm the oldest of five. I have vivid memories, okay, those that know that my real father killed himself when I was 7, my mom remarried into an abusive relationship. At 13 years old, I have a very vivid memory of standing above both my parents, okay, and parenting them, teaching them how to communicate to each other. And then I have 4 siblings that are younger than me that I've been the father figure for my entire life to them. And then I also have a stepfather that was kicked out of my house every 6 months, then brought back in. So we love him, we hate him, we love him, we hate him, we love him for 10 years of my young adult life before I moved on. So you wonder why I'm in no hurry to get married.
Right.
And you wonder why I don't want any kids. I've been fucking parenting for 35 years already.
You should be retired by now.
Right. And so,
hang up your jersey, man.
So, you know, like, yeah, you know what? I wish I had a little mini me running around. Like, I absolutely, does that not, that sound, and I would love to live vicariously through him playing sports and being a mini me and educating him and teaching him and all those stuff sounds fucking awesome. But I actually could do without it because I don't feel like I completely missed out on what fucking parenting is like.
Here's what people think. Okay. People think if you say, I don't want to have kids, they think, oh, you're selfish and all you care about is your ego. Where now that may be true in some cases, it may not be, but it also may be fucking true when people choose to have kids. Do you know how many people children because of their ego?
Mm-hmm.
Because they want a kid that they could fucking mold and force.
To save a relationship.
A relationship. Ugh. Like, it could be good and bad to have them, and it could be good and bad to not have them. It depends on the person. And it's not my fucking job to judge that. If it's your choice, and again, you're not hurting anybody, why do people care? Like, what anybody does? Like, why should anybody get offended if the dude over there decides to pierce his nose 15 times, or the girl over there decides to have a relationship with another girl? Over here, they decide they want to have an open relationship. Over here, they want to decide they don't want to have kids. And, oh, this couple over here has 15 kids. And as long as everybody's cool, nobody hurts anybody, it's like the second you find offense in it yourself, even though they're not really doing anything to you, it has to do with yourself.
Yeah, always. It's such a reflection of yourself. It's so fucking obvious. And the more passionate you are about it, the worse it fucking is. Like, if you really feel the need to tell somebody they should be married or they should have kids or this or that, it's worse. It's really bad. It's like, if you think it, it's one thing. If you think it, that should already be your sign that you have some things to reflect on yourself. If you fucking vocalize it, you probably got real issues in that department.
And a lot of times they just removed themselves from any other, you know, non-like-minded people. Like, they've created this sort of bias and this environment now where everything revolves around kids. And like, that's why, you know, even me is like, I'm hanging out and we're doing these play dates and all this kind of stuff is great, but you know, like, I need interaction with my boys. I need interaction with, like, people that are single. Like, I need that because, like, then I'm going to turn into one of these people that, you know, like, this is all we do now. And, like, no, like, be diverse.
It's funny that you guys picked this question because my boys and I literally were talking about this topic like today because one of my buddies just got pregnant. So it's his first kid's on the way. And so this is like my childhood best friend. So all of us waited till we were in our 30s before.
Was this the one that you're in his wedding just recently?
Yeah.
He's the first one?
Yeah. He's the first one. And so we're all on a group thread and you know, we're all kind of talking.
Good for him.
And it's funny because this group is the opposite, right? Because we all waited like a long time. So it's just like, I'm waiting to see how his life changes. And I said, traveling, sex, drugs, and toys. Yeah, that's all going to change real quick.
I was the guy in our group.
So. You know, it's funny too when you think about this and people talk about it like it's all great and it's all awesome. The reality is sometimes it is awesome. My experience is I love my kids more than anything. I'm always going to be very involved in their life. But the reality, statistically speaking, today something like 30 to 34% of children are raised by a single parent. You know, and the vast majority of the people that left their kids to not be a part of life are men. And I guarantee there's a biological component there. Women definitely evolve to be more connected, to have more empathy, so it's much more difficult. There's also societal pressures. A man can leave their kids and everybody judges them a little bit. A woman leaves her kids and it's like, you're a horrible person. But I'm just saying, like, I think one of the worst things you could do is have children when you don't want to have kids. So I find it fucking ridiculous when you've got family and friends pressuring people to have kids who kind of don't want to have them. And a lot of people have had kids in situations like that because they think that they're supposed to.
My mom, you know, raised my siblings to think in this order that goes, you know, God, family, kids, and that's everything in life. Like, in, you know, once you have been married and you've had children, you're accomplished. Like, that, nothing matters more than that. Money is the root of all evilness, and children, having children and family is the greatest gift you could ever receive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I have a younger sister who's now pregnant again, and again, to each their own. I don't tell her what she can't have kid or what that, but, you know, personally, where she's at, like, in her life, they can't support kids. Her man that she's with has two. Now they have two. And they have four kids. They have four kids, and they don't have one working car. Like, and just, it's just not responsible. It's like the stress that you're going to put those kids on, the environment they have to grow up in. Like, you're really not setting the family up for success. And, like, to me, you think you're doing the selfless thing by being a parent or a mother or a father, but you're actually doing something very selfish. You're being very selfish because you feel the need that you want or you need this, when in reality, you're not even in a position to take care of it because you're still not taking care of your... It's the same thing. I look at somebody who's addicted to drugs or have these issues, and then they go have a child too. Is like, you're not even in a position right now to take care of yourself. What the fuck makes you think you're in a position to take care of another being?
It can definitely be that way. Right. It's funny.
No, not only can it be... It's more common. It's more common.
Yeah.
That's more common than the other way, bro. There's more of those stories.
Maybe. I would debate which one's more common, but you're right. It can be a very, very selfish act, and it can be a very, very selfless act. It can be a wonderful, amazing thing. Or it can be a horrible thing. And this is true for not having kids. I'm sure there are people, guarantee you there are people, I've met a couple who decided not to have kids for whatever reason. They had a bad childhood. They had a bad relationship. They got divorced and said, fuck it, I never want to have kids again. Who then got to a certain age where it became unrealistic to have children, who regretted it. I'm sure those people exist, you know, as well. And I'm like I said, I know a couple of them. It's not black or white. But again, I don't think anybody should be telling anybody how to live if they're not hurting anybody or stealing anybody from anybody. If they're happy, let them do the thing.
The advice is to the person who's getting told the advice, right? So, you know, the way I handle it now is you can't get emotional about it. You can't react to it. I just ignore it.
That's a great point because the same thing that makes that person feel, you know, personally insulted by you not wanting to have kids can get activated in you when you get insulted by their insult.
Right. No, absolutely.
It becomes your ego against
theirs. If I acted the way I'm acting right now on the show, the way I'm expressing my passion to you guys, because this is not how I would react. Like, you just, I don't even let them know. Like, what I'm sharing with all the personal stuff I just shared, that doesn't get shared. I don't say all those things, you know, but this is what's going on in my head. I'm thinking, like, fuck, you're an idiot for telling me this, but you just can't say that, because then again, then it looks like you're the one with the major issue. And it's like, no, it's not an issue. It's just a choice that I have, and I just have a different view on it. And I like to share with people, you know, we obviously probably had different upbringings and different views on family and children, this and that, and I respect yours. You know.
Well, if it's any consolation, I think you'd make an excellent father, but until then, you'll be a great uncle to your nieces and nephews.
We got kids that we can bring close.
My kids and Justin's kids.
Just don't touch them.
Yeah. Check this out. 30 Days of Coaching. It's valuable information on everything that is fitness and wellness, and we're giving it away for free. Just go to mindpumpmedia.com, register for the information. You'll get it immediately, and you'll be blown away by all the free stuff that we're teaching you. Also, we've got some awesome videos that we post on YouTube every single day, ranging from comedy to fitness. All you got to do is go to Mind Pump TV on YouTube and subscribe to our channel. And finally, if you want to ask us a question that we can answer on an episode like this one, go to Instagram. The page is Mind Pump Media, and ask the question underneath the Q&A pictures that we post. You can also check out our personal pages. My page is Mind Pump Sal. Justin is Mind Pump Justin, and Adam is Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.